Hey everyone, welcome back to Guerrilla Radio, a companion to the Guerrilla History Podcast. I'm your co-host James, a member of the Guerrilla Radio Partisan Brigade, which is just a fancy way of saying I co-host from time to time. Today, I'm incredibly excited to have members of the University of Illinois in Chicago chapter of the organization Students for Justice in Palestine. SJP has a unique role in the Palestinian Solidarity and Liberation Movement, building on the legacy and impact of the student movement in occupied Turtle Island. SJP has been an organization on the front lines in campuses across the U.S., with students actively working on the ground to empower, unify, and support student organizers as they push towards demands for both Palestinian liberation and self-determination on their campuses. That being said, let's go to introductions. We've got several guests today.
Hi, everyone. I'm Janine. I am the vice president this year of SJP at UIC. And I'm also one of the complainants, in the federal civil rights complaint.
Hi, my name is Sova. I am the political education and events chair of Students for Justice in Palestine at UIC, and I am also a complainant of our federal complaint against UIC for discrimination.
Hi, everyone. My name is Salam. I am currently an alumni of UIC, just graduated back in May. During my time, I was the president of SJP. And once again, I'm, I guess, the third complaint here talking about the complaint against UIC.
Okay, awesome. So before we dive in, I want to give a little bit of background because I think it's kind of important. If you're a student in the United States, you might not realize this, but your campus has likely been shaped by decades of intensive lobbying efforts and on-the-ground organizing done by Zionist groups and actors and their efforts to build ties with universities and their student bodies. This is being done to continue influencing broad public opinion of the next generations in regards to Israel's continued settler colonial occupation in historic Palestine, as these groups have really begun recognizing that there are growing cracks in the U.S. over support for the Zionist project, cracks that are really evident in younger generations, particularly those on college campuses. A lot of these groups are ones you've probably heard of in some capacity: AIPAC, the Hasbro Fellowships, Hillel, Scholars for Peace in the Middle East, whatever the hell that means, the Jewish Federation of New York, Tag the Birthright Israel, and others. These groups cumulatively make up a Zionist lobby with serious influence in campuses across the U.S. In 2012, one of those groups, the David Project, released a white paper titled A Burning Campus, Rethinking Advocacy at America's Universities and Colleges, a white paper that did a lot to influence and shift overall Zionist efforts from a traditional strategy of confrontation and debate to, a new one that can really be described as making the right friends and influencing the right people to stifle any and all narratives running counter to Zionist interests. The David Project merged with Hillel International's Israel Engagement and Educational Department back in 2017 before evolving into the Hillel Youth Center for Community Outreach in 2019. But its legacy has been really profound in the Zionist lobby as it tries to figure out how to stifle dissent towards Israel and any support for Palestinian liberation on campuses nationwide, while attempting to cultivate and co-opt these influencers and notable allies on campus. They have, according to the author Ali Abunima, in their book, The Battle for Justice in Palestine, led witch hunts and attacks on individual professors, used criminal and legal proceedings to define protest and criticism of Israel as bigotry or hate speech, and fostered Islamophobia and other forms of intimidation and bullying, all this alongside the typical positive, quote-unquote strategies that we've all come to know more broadly, like pinkwashing, greenwashing, etc. But in spite of targeted attacks on professors and students, sometimes using even the weight of U.S. politicians to bolster their efforts, the attempted criminalization of anti-Zionist sentiments and protests and what can be described as an all-out war on pro-Palestine and broadly left-leaning students and organizers on college campuses nationwide, efforts that in many ways parallel Red Scare campaigns to root out communists during the 1940s and 1950s, organizations like SJP have not only survived but managed to thrive. And that kind of brings us to where we sit today. So if you all would like to kick it off, what the hell is going on at University of Illinois in Chicago?
So essentially, what the hell is happening at UIC is I feel like it's a accumulation of a lot of just discrimination against us as Palestinian students and allies. And it's sort of blatant and it's very in your face. And we finally just got enough of it. And we were like, okay, we're going to go to the federal government about this because we weren't getting any sort of support or consequences from any administration or faculty here at UIC. And there are certain situations that have happened, if you want us to go into those.
Yeah, absolutely. Like a timeline would be awesome if you can.
Salam, I don't know if you want to go into what happened on the beginnings of it, basically.
Yeah. No, definitely. So, like Janine mentioned, this has been an accumulation of events, and us SJP have been trying to go through every outlet that, you know, possible on campus to kind of get some, you know, answers and get some, hold UIC accountable for the things that we've experienced. However, you know, it just push came to shove, and we're like, okay, if no one's going to listen to us on campus, might as well take it to the higher ups, which was the Department of Education. So this kind of all started back in 2021, if I'm not mistaken, where the School of Public Health invited an Israeli speaker to speak about COVID vaccinations and how amazing Israel has been with distribution, and they were on their third dose already, and so on and so forth, and all that stuff. So during that time, I was present with the current SJP members, where we decided to attend this Zoom event to ask important questions about the Palestinian population and how there's a medical apartheid happening. And when doing so, we were taking higher security precautions. So we all decided to join the Zoom using one Zoom link from a registered member, because a lot of us didn't want to, you know, put our names out there, and we're worried about doxing websites such as Canary Mission and, you know, the security measures that we have to take as Palestinian students, unfortunately. When doing so, a lot of us encountered censorship, because as we were asking our questions about Palestine and, you know, what about the vaccines to the Palestinian population? What about the medical apartheid happening? We were quickly removed from the Zoom. It wasn't until a few of us decided to enter the Zoom using different names or fake names and whatnot that some of us were not allowed to re-enter, or some of us were re-entered, but once again, removed from the Zoom call. And at that time, I recall that I had changed my name to a fake name. I believe it was like a Grey's Anatomy name, because that was the only thing I can think of. It was like Karina DeLuca. And I like said in the chat, I was like, okay, the higher ups, I'm going to take this to the dean. You guys better not remove me this time. And I wasn't removed. So they dismissed our questions. They didn't even answer them. But we were like, okay, this was not right. So we decided to submit a discrimination report with our Office of Access and Equity. And at the time, the department, after their investigation, told us that the actions by the School Public Health were allowed and permitted because we were text shouting. Whatever that means. I mean, I don't know how you can shout over text. Like, it's kind of, I guess it's kind of a way for them to be like, yeah, this is our excuse for that. But it was funny to us because we were just like, what the heck? Like, how is text shouting a thing? Like, we were literally just asking questions and no one was answering. So it was funny, but at the same time, it was also like unacceptable. Like, I can't believe UIC did that. Following that, they kind of, I guess, gave us what we wanted in the sense of hosting a Zoom call with a professor from Bitezet University to discuss the medical apartheid. Now, for us, that was kind of a win, but also it wasn't checking off all the other boxes that we were expecting them to check off. For one, they continued to sign this contract with JUF, the Jewish United Funds of Chicago, where they're giving thousands of dollars to bring Israeli speakers to talk about Israel and how amazing Israel is. And we were kind of trying to end that contract because it's very, you know, Israel's an apartheid state. Like, one, first and foremost, like, that's just like the blatant truth. And following this, it kind of just didn't transition well into the new school year. Now, as we move to today's days and actions, actually, prior to this year, they were trying to host this same study abroad session last year, the 2021-2022 school year. They had made an Instagram post where our community had gotten over 700 comments on the Instagram post, which resulted in them not hosting the informational session. I don't think they even followed through with the trip either, because they didn't get enough signups, which to us is like a win. But also, you know, I believe it was also of the efforts of the community getting over 700 comments, you know, saying that this trip is discriminatory in nature. How are you going to go to Israel with an occupation happening? And these are members like that didn't even go to UIC. It was just people from all around Chicagoland area. Now, that was like 2021, 2022, which now brings us into the 2022-2023 school year. So we noticed an Instagram post in November of 2022 promoting the Israeli study abroad trip. I, along with a couple other peers, commented on this post. And when we noticed that we did that, there was like, what, 3-4 comments. We as SJP collectively decided, okay, let's not bombard this chat. Like, let's learn from our past experiences and try to do some things different. But with to our surprise, they removed the Instagram post after only 4 comments. So we're like, interesting. And then in January of 2023, one of our SJP members saw that there is a flyer going around for the Israeli study abroad informational session. So based on our past experiences, we're like, okay, let's plan accordingly and like differently so that we don't get hit with a text shouting, whatever, complaint from the discrimination office. Let's try to do this, I guess, in the right way or a different way. So we decided to register for this Zoom using our real names and using our UIC emails. Now, for us Palestinians and allies, that puts us at a high risk for doxing, for, you know, receiving DMs or harassment, or, you know, just puts a huge target on our backs about being pro-Palestinian. But we decided to do so for the sake of hoping that they wouldn't follow through with this trip. When doing so, now, man, I'm just going on like a tangent of events, but there's just been a lot happening. So when doing so, we all decided to join, and we all have Arab-sounding names. I, myself, my name's Salam Khatir. Janine's Janine Al-Harithi. Soha's Soha Khatib. Very, very Arab-sounding names. I mean, even the pronunciation, like Khatib, Khatir, like, you know, you can just tell right off the bat that we are Middle Eastern or have some type of Arab background. We noticed that a lot of us were in the waiting room for like 15, 20 minutes, and our SJP members who were just allies and are non-Palestinian were quickly admitted into the Zoom. You know, they had very European sounding names. I'm not going to say their names due to safety reasons. And, you know, they decided to keep themselves private. And we were like, oh, this is interesting. Like, why are they not allowing us into the Zoom? We even told our friends that were in the Zoom, oh my God, tell them that your friend Salam is waiting in the waiting room. Let us in. And she was like, oh yeah, we told them. They keep saying email the study abroad office. They're having technical issues. Then they quickly changed the Zoom call due to these technical issues and send out the link to only the members that are in the Zoom call, not in the waiting room. So we're like, okay, forward the link to us because we registered for the Zoom. We have every right to be in the Zoom. When they forward the link to us, once again, with our Arab names, we were not admitted into the Zoom until Janine and I had this bright idea because I recalled, you know, back in 2021 when I changed my name to Karina DeLuca, I was like, you know, let's change our names. Like, let's see if they'll let us in. Janine changed her name to Haley. And then I myself changed to my name to Rebecca Goldstein. So with those name changes, within 1 to 2 minutes, not even 3 minutes, we were quickly admitted into the Zoom. And from there, I guess you can say we experienced even more blatant discrimination.
I can go on to the rest because I was the first one. If you had to give any like input or anything. Pretty good. Okay. I also would just like to mention that I named myself Haley after Haley Williams, and I really would like to have that go on air. So Haley Williams, you're the reason this happened. Okay. But yeah, so I was the first one let in after I changed my name, and Salam or Rebecca was still in the waiting room for a little bit after I got in, and I kind of got in at the end of the informational session where she was the director of the trip, Verit Arbel. She was like ending it up, wrapping it up, and she was talking about how like they're going to go to Bedouin camps in Palestine and they're going to immerse themselves in Bedouin culture, and it's going to be so beautiful and like peaceful, and it's going to create so much love and harmony. And it was really bizarre. And like someone in the chat, like the questions that people were asking were like, oh, like can we bring our own tents for this Bedouin camp? And it's like, do you guys not have any more important questions to ask here? And this is like really concerning. But yeah, so, and then she wrapped the informational session up and then she opened up the floor for questions. And then I was the first one to go ahead and I asked a question. I said, hey guys, like I'm Haley. I just had a question concerning my status as a Palestinian citizen. I hold Palestinian ID. And I would just like to know how you guys would ensure my entrance into Tel Aviv, because I can't, like, my movement is really restricted whenever I go to Palestine, and I can't really go to, like, areas that are, like, occupied Palestine that are, like, Israel. And she had answered saying, oh, well, you know, I have Israeli citizenship and American citizenship, but I've always been able to get into Israel, so you should be fine. And I was like, girly pop, that's not the same thing. Like, Palestinian citizenship is so completely different. Like, it's not even considered a citizenship or like a valid passport to so many countries. So that was just, like, in, like, insane ignorance on her part. And then me and Sanam, Rebecca, we continued to, like, ask questions. So did, like, the other, like, members in the call. We were asking questions about just, like, the ethical basis of this trip. And, like, how do you, as faculty advisors and, like, directors, like, how would you ensure our safety going on this trip? Even because it is, like we can very much get compromised going on this trip. And we were met with a lot of pushback. They were saying that we were getting too political, and this is not about politics. This is all about, you know, culture and bringing students together. And this is not a political issue, blah, blah, blah. And at one point, they just started muting us halfway through talking. And they were also directing us towards their emails. They were saying, no more questions. If you have any more questions, just email us. And then they, like, wrapped up the informational session. And that was really it with what happened on January 23rd. If you have anything to add, go on. But also, Soha has, like, another experience regarding the informational.
Sorry, before you go on, I was just going to mention, like, specifically, like, in the Zoom call, like, I even asked a question and they're like, it's too political to answer. And I was like, it's not political. This is refrain. Like, this is towards the trip. And as I was asking my question, like, why did you choose Israel, a country that participates in genocide and ethnic cleansing? They muted me during my question and said, we're not answering political questions. And I unmuted myself and said, why'd you mute me? This is an important question to answer. And everyone was just silent and then just completely dismissed it and moved on to the next question. So that's just something I kind of wanted to highlight, because it's blatant censorship as they muted me, like, mid-question. And I was, like, mind-boggled. Like, I cannot believe they did that. And for it to happen again was crazy to me. So that I just wanted to kind of, like, put them on blast for that, because what they did is very unacceptable, and everyone needs to know that, like, this is what UIC is known for, censoring their Palestinian students.
No, and thank you for sharing that part, because I do think that is kind of, like, when we talk about all of the issues outside of just our campaign against the study abroad office, because we do have, like, multiple going on, the common theme is, like, censorship and silencing of Palestinian students. And that's not just a theme within, like, SJP at UIC and with Palestinians here at UIC, but, you know, at, like, every university across the country, it's that, like, they don't want us to be able to share our stories and to be able to share our grievances. And so for me personally, with the informational session, I didn't change my name. When the new Zoom link came in the group chat, I tried to join through that one because I had, like everyone else, registered with my UIC email, gone through all of the proper channels to make sure that I'm, like, allowed to enter this event, and I still wasn't. And so once it reached, like, 35 or 40 minutes, I started sending emails to the study abroad office. I was like, why am I not being let in? You know, I registered, I've been sitting here, I want to hear what you guys have to say. And, you know, there was no response until a couple of days later, when Kyle Rausch, who is the head of the study abroad office, had emailed me saying that we should meet one-on-one so that I could learn more about it, and that the reason I hadn't been let in was because there were, like, disruptors trying to come and prevent them from finishing their presentation, which was also false because they did get through the entirety of the presentation. No SJP members asked questions outside of the Q&A portion, which was the point of having this informational session, was for people to, students specifically, to come in and ask questions about this trip. So yeah, it was February 8th, I believe, that I had met with Kyle, and I didn't explicitly tell him that I'm Palestinian because that seemed to be the issue. So I just kind of tried to keep that on the down low. But also, as someone who's mixed, so I'm half Black, half Palestinian, I did, during the one-on-one session, want to ask questions about the safety of Black students, because that's also another thing that does get skipped over a lot, is like the treatment of Ethiopian Jewish people in Israel is despicable. And, you know, there's high levels of racism there. It is very unsafe for Black people as well. When I asked that question, he immediately said that he was sensing the undertones of a political agenda. So from there, I was like, okay, cat's out the bag. Like, yeah, I'm Palestinian. So then I just kind of started going in and being like, how, like, what was your process with deciding to approve this trip? Like, how did you decide that this was a good idea? And he basically said that they decide through the State Department's, like, safety clearance. So, like, how safe would it be for a U.S. citizen to go? And when I asked about, like, the ethics and morality of that, that, like, although the State Department could say one thing, but within the U.S. and within Chicago and UIC's population specifically, there's a lot of Palestinian people. So ethically and morally, why did you think that was okay? And he didn't really seem to have an answer. And we continued to go back and forth until at one point he said that he didn't understand why I wanted to go so bad if I felt like I was going to be mistreated. And this is obviously very jarring because, like, as a person who, like, is indigenous to that land, like, yeah, I want to go back to my homeland. That seems, like, pretty obvious. Like, and I'm not really sure what sort of answer he was expecting from that besides, you know, like, it's my homeland. And from there, he went on to say that as a gay man, he wouldn't be able to travel to many countries, especially throughout the Middle East, because of how he would be treated. This was obviously just very ignorant, very offensive, and also, like, very frustrating to me personally, because it did also feel like the erasure of, like, queer Palestinians. And that was just, like, a very, like, mind-boggling thing to hear, not only from someone that's, like, a member of the UIC community, but, like, an administrator. Like, these are the thoughts and beliefs held by the people who are making decisions that actively affect us as students. And that was just, like, generally very frightening to hear, to know that that's what they're thinking. And so from there, we had released some, like, quotes on our Instagram, kind of highlighting what was said, not only in the informational session, but also with my one-on-one meeting with Kyle. Oh, wait, actually, before we go to that, there was another event between that, which was the Study Abroad Expo, which, so then you can kind of go into, this was the day after my meeting with Kyle. So he had kind of already known who I was, but he didn't know Salam or Janine, and it was the three of us at the time. And the Study Abroad Expo is basically an event that they do at the Student Center, which is, like, a very high traffic area on our campus. There's, like, restaurants and the bookstore, and people just walk through there to get to campus. And they set up tables throughout it to promote different study abroad trips that they're hosting. So Salam, if you want to kind of go more in on that.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, during the Study Abroad Expo, we had noticed Kyle and Irina, who was, Irina is, like, the senior associate of the Study Abroad office. Kyle's, like, the executive director. So when we saw Kyle, we're like, hey, let's go up to him. I went up to him and I started asking, like, I see that the Israel flyer was on the table, and I started asking him, so, like, I'm interested in this trip. And he started talking about, like, yeah, like, what are you interested about, whatever, and, like, whatever. And, well, like, he just said, like, a small spiel, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to cut to it, like, straight to it. I don't even want to, like, beat around the bush. So I was just like, actually, like, hi, my name is Salam. I'm the president of Students for Justice in Palestine. And I was one of those students who registered for the informational session, but was not allowed into the Zoom until I changed my name to Rebecca. And then he straight up, you know, tells me, oh, I see, like, where this is heading. Alan, that's a lie that's going around. Like, that never happened. And whatever. And I was like, wait, no, that happened. I'm telling you, it happened to me. Like, I am Rebecca. Like, I'm not actually Rebecca, but, like, I changed my name to Rebecca. And then he was like, okay, like, I see where this is going. And even Janine butt into the conversation was like, and I was Haley. Like, I changed my name to Haley. He's like, I see where this is going. I am not going to address this here. And then proceeds to walk away. So we're just like, oh, like, okay, we're going to just walk away. Like, when we're trying to, like, ask you what that, like, what happened. And then we see that Irina was sitting at another table. We were like, okay, fine. If Kyle doesn't want to talk to us about it, we'll talk to Irina. So we go up to Irina. We're like, hey, girl, like, you know, this is what happened. We're the students that were from the informational session that weren't allowed into the Zoom. And then she's like, oh, okay, I see. Like, she was, like, actually engaging in conversation. And we kind of start off by saying, like, why weren't we allowed into the Zoom? She was like, for any questions, like, email the study abroad office. We're like, but we're asking, like, you know why? Like, why weren't we allowed into the Zoom? And she just, like, refused to answer that question. We're like, fine, okay, answer our other questions. Like, why are you guys hosting a trip to Israel? Like, this is an apartheid state. They are occupying a group of people. They're occupying the Palestinians, ethnic cleansing, genocide, all of the above. Like, why are we going to Israel? She was like, this is out of my control. This is a question for the higher ups. I do not decide. This is not up to me. And I was like, okay, you know what? Fine. If this is up to you, I was like, okay, then answer me. I was like, answer this question. If you were to host a trip to Russia or Ukraine with the ongoing invasion of Ukraine, would that be allowed? She responds with, absolutely not. We would not be going to either country. I was like, so if you're able to answer that question for me, why can't you answer the question about going to Israel? Israel is invading Palestine. Why is that trip allowed? And she was like, this is a question for the higher ups. So it just goes to show that there's loopholes. There's obviously favoritism. There's some type of, you know, discrimination against Middle Eastern people, Arab people, especially Palestinian people. Because if we're not allowed to go to Ukraine or Russia with the invasion, then why are we going to Israel? And I even brought up apartheid South Africa. A trip would not be allowed during apartheid South Africa. And she also agreed that it would not be allowed during that time. So why is it allowed now to Israel as it is an apartheid state itself? And she continued to say, this is a question not for me. This is for higher ups. And then says, why are you yelling? Lower your voice, like straight up saying, why are you yelling? Why are you being aggressive? And I'm telling her, I'm not being yelling. I'm not yelling. I'm not being aggressive. We are in SCE. It's very loud in here. And I want you to hear me. And I'm just being assertive with my points. Same way that I'm talking right now is the same way I was talking to her. So it was just crazy to me. Like, you're going to try to gaslight me and try to put me down for being assertive and trying to get my point across, especially when we're in a loud space, was crazy to me. So she continued to dismiss our questions and dismiss everything we were saying. And even Kyle comes back to the table, looks to Irina and is like, Irina, do not engage with them. I am telling you, do not engage with them. And then he walks away. Irina still continued to engage with us. She even started, like, she even was like giving us, like, you know, she was putting her fist up and saying, like, you go, guys. I hear you. You know, you can do it. And it's just like, girl, what? Like, you just sound like every other person that, like, doesn't want to support us, but is trying to get us to go away. You get what I'm saying? Like, we started laughing. We're like, okay, what the heck is going on? And even, like, I don't know, Jeanine, like, do you have anything else to add? Like, you were also there. Like, I feel like that was kind of the beast of it. Like,
honestly, Saddam did most of the talking, but, like, it was just such a conversation where I felt like we were saying so many, like, good points. Like, we had so much basis to what we were saying, and we just kept getting hit with, oh, well, this isn't my problem, so I don't care. Like, it was just like a complete, like, slap at our faces, I feel like. And coming from college, like, college administrators, college faculty, I feel like there'd be, like, more respect or more, like, at least conversation about these sorts of things, but there wasn't at all. And we were painted as these, like, provocative, like, insane students who were just trying to, like, corner these, like, people, but, like, we just wanted answers to, like, our questions. And they couldn't provide those answers because they know that they're, like, morally not correct, but they also don't really care about Palestinians or, like, preserving Palestine. So do you have any, because she also was also there.
Yeah. But, like, during this time too, with, like, my past experience of being, like, an activist and being with SJP, I recall that we have the rights as students to submit a FOIA, which is a Freedom of Information Act. So during this time, we decided to submit a FOIA request where we can retain the emails from Kyle, Vered, and Irina regarding the Israeli study abroad trip. When we got those emails back, it was so obvious. Like, they even had to pull someone from, like, an outside source to see what they have to do regarding this informational session, where they said that there are students commenting on the post and, like, they signed up for their Zoom call. You know, what do we do? They even said that, like, oh, Vered, like, you're only going to allow students that you recognize, like, your own students into the Zoom call. So that goes beyond like against what they were saying, that this trip was for all students, as they were monitoring the chat to only students that had Barrett as a professor. Additionally, one of our allies and members is a student of Barrett's, but she wasn't allowed into the Zoom. And you want to know why? It's because she had an Arab name. It wasn't until she also changed her name, then she was allowed into the Zoom. So it goes to show that they were straight up just lying. They were planning this, and they were looking like they knew this was controversial because they had to bring an outside source to kind of help guide them on how to do it. And like Kyle even says, like, they were like told to ignore calls, ignore emails, and just kind of like just go through it. Why ignore? Why ignore us? We are bringing up facts. We are bringing up important questions that need to be addressed. This is 2023. Like, how many times do we have to explain that, like, Palestine is being occupied? You have Palestinian students at UIC. These are things that need to be addressed. You can't just ignore it and go on with your lives. This is not how life works. So, like, once we got those records, we were like, boom, this is our, you know, support to show that they were blatantly discriminating against us, trying every way to censor us, and didn't allow us into the Zoom because of our names. They had suspicion. So with that suspicion, what did they do? Not allow the Arab names in, but allow the European names in. So that was crazy to us. And when we got that information, we're like, okay, we're going to use this, you know, against them because they, you know, got themselves in trouble, I guess, whatever you want to say. But yeah, so that was what was happening with that week. And then following that week, with that information in mind and with the experience we had at Study Abroad Expo and the experience we had in the Zoom call, we're like, okay, what action items can we do? We decided as an organization, let's fly around campus. We need the other students and our allies to know what's happening and what UIC is, like the truth behind UIC and what they've been doing to us. So we compiled flyers of things that Kyle, Irina, and Barrett have said to us, things we've experienced within these past events, and decided to fly around campus. Now, I'm going to pass this off to Janine and Soha because they were present during this flying incident. But I would like to say that, like, during this time, I received a call from Soha very concerning about what was happening. And as president of the organization, it put me in such an uncomfortable position because I felt responsible for what was happening and for, you know, us as students to have this heavy load on us, and for professors to call police on us was crazy to me. And it was so anxiety inducing. Ladies, girls, take it over. Please do explain everything that happened to you guys, because it's so unfortunate that it had to happen to you guys. But you guys are so strong for how you handled it. And you guys are just badasses. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. So basically, it started with Barrett. Her office is in the physical education building because she's like a kinesiology professor. And so we were like, hey, like, let's flyer around that building because there are a lot of classes there as well, so that people who are in the kinesiology department can be aware of what's going on. And the flyers were what were included in the Instagram post, which is direct quotes that Barrett and Kyle had said during an informational session. And, you know, we all met up outside and we walked through the building. We were handing out flyers. We were putting some up on the walls. And while these flyers weren't approved, it is very normal for there to be unapproved flyers on UIC's campus. Not every student organization or even just like student themselves that may have like a small business or is a DJ is going to get their flyers approved through the school, but they're still going to put it up. And not anybody really gets in trouble for that. However, as we were flyering, there is a professor by the name of Tomer Kanaan, who is also a Palestinian, which like adds to the lore. But he came up to us and said that we were disrupting a learning space and that we had to leave immediately. We had a pretty short back and forth of like, how are we disrupting? Because there was a lot of like students in that area that were just like kikiing and having fun and like studying. So we didn't really see it as an issue. But we were just very quickly like, okay, we don't want any problems, so we're just going to leave. This building is like two floors, so we were on the second floor, and within the time it took to get from the second floor to the first floor, there were already four cops standing there as the doors opened. And mind you, he had told us probably like a minute ago that he wouldn't call the police if we left. And when we tried to do that, it seemed as though that he had called the police before he even told us that, because in the time it takes to get from the second to the first floor, that's like 20 seconds. And immediately we were like,
very taken aback. And that was when I called Salam, because as the president of SJP, and we do definitely have sort of like a family structure within SJP, just kind of like calling my mom, being like, hey, can you come pick me up? So yeah, that's what we did. And the police were very much not having it. And I'll pass the rest of that story along to Janine.
Okay, so we are faced with police. I'm sorry. I've just said this. I've just like recounted this so many times. I just feel like this, I can't believe this even happened. Like, it's just funny to the. So we're faced with these police officers, and there's like four of them, and they never mentioned that we were detained. They never like read our Miranda rights. It was very much just like very much just like, okay, like, what were you guys doing? What were you guys firing? And we're like, okay, guys, like, you were just flying around. You don't want any trouble. We can't, like, can we go? Like, there's not like, there's nothing going on here. And then they were asking for our IDs. And us, as like student activists, especially student activists of color, we were like kind of scared of like what are you guys going to do with our IDs? And the one police officer that eventually like grabbed me, it was seeming as if he wasn't like, he didn't believe that I was a UIC student. He was like, you need to be a UIC student to fly around campus. Are you a UIC student? Can I see your UIC ID? And I was like, why am I getting questioned right now? Like, there's no basis for this whatsoever. And they escalated it themselves. And whenever we tried to just walk away and tried to de-escalate the situation, and I straight up told them, I said, we have lawyers and we also have our Miranda rights. We have our First Amendment rights of just going around as students just to like fly around campus. That's just like a basic human student right. You know what I mean? And so after that, I was like, hey, like, we can just walk away from this where we don't have to engage. I got grabbed by that police officer. He was saying, no, where are you going? I need to see your ID. Are you a UIC student? And I said, bro, like, why are you grabbing me? I am a UIC student, but why do I have to show you my ID? There's no basis for this at all. And then I tried to walk away again. And then he grabbed me much forcefully the second time. And he was saying, and like, mind you, I'm the only one wearing the hijab in that group. And we also were all wearing like this print, like the kufiya print. Some of us were, and like the people who were wearing this print were the only ones that were that the police asked for their IDs. So it was like clear. It was like clear targeting. So after he grabbed me the second time, I was like, dude, like, what, like, why are you grabbing me? Like, what do you want from me? If you want to see my ID, I'll show it to you. I am a UIC student, but like, there really is no need for any of this to be happening right now. And then after that, after I said that, he said, yeah, and you can't go anywhere. You guys all can't leave. You guys are all detained right now. So he said that after he grabbed me twice, after he didn't let us leave on multiple occasions, after he asked us for our ID, after he asked us for our ID numbers on no basis of like detainment whatsoever. And it just seemed really, really arbitrary. It seemed very targeted. It seemed very, you know, just like, these are four police officers who feel like they have the right and the superiority to kind of pick on these students right now. And because they're Palestinian, that gives them the right to. And so that's what they did. And mind you, the two professors who, like the one professor and the other one that was just like with him that called the police, they're just sitting in the corner the whole entire time watching us and laughing. Like, watching and laughing students of their university get like basically like brutalized by the police, which is bizarre. Yeah. And so we ended up just like giving, it was like, it got very chaotic. We all were very like scared, and we kept asking them for like, what is like the UIC protocol, like basis for any of this. They couldn't give an answer, and we ended up giving them our ID numbers. They never got the UIC numbers of the people who were wearing the kufiya scarf, and they let us go after a while. But that, like, that situation was like really, really hectic. It was really insane. That was one of our, like, probably like our first ever like interaction altercation with the police, and it really solidifies like the police's dynamic in this country and like what the police is here to do. It's not, they're not here, they're like, even campus police, they're not here to look out for students. They're not here to ensure the safety of students. They're here to like suppress POC voices and POC activism and they'll do that at any chance that they can get. And it's very, very similar to like ILF repression of Palestinians back home. I mean, obviously that's not like, that's a whole other scale, but like, you know, as Palestinians in diaspora, that is like, that's something that we face here.
I think the only thing that I would want to add is like the fact that Janine is like very little, like not only were they picking the only person there with a hijab, but they were picking like the smallest girl that they could find. Like, she barely stands at 5 feet.
Yeah, that's not true.
I am 5'1".
Okay.
I said barely. But either way, she's, like, the smallest of all of us. And so to see these, like, big, brawly men who are, like, officers come and grab her like that was very much, like, they are trying to find, like, you know, sort of the easiest person to overtake within the group, because there were men with us, there were like tall guys that were also walking towards the door, and they chose her of all people. And I think that's just a very important thing to note, because like when we talk about it, it's not just the fact that we were targeted for being Palestinian, but you also have to add on that fact that like she's Muslim, she was wearing a hijab, she's a woman, and like the way that police in the U.S. treat Muslim women is something that's like very often ignored. So yeah I just wanted to add that part.
Okay, yeah, so that's a lot. Jeez. Yeah, y'all's campus is fucking awful. My God, I'm so sorry. Some things that, like, stood out to me, I guess, throughout this, like, the main thing is seeing the escalatory tactics and kind of, like, how the university staff and, I guess, particularly the office in charge of this is really working, like, real time on adjusting strategy and tactics as you all kind of begin showing opposition to any other things, right? Starting with, like, a social media post, that gets mass attack, that gets taken down, right? The next one, the minute there's an inkling that could be repeated, is immediately taken down. They go to private meetings with only students that they themselves can pick. People that they damn well don't recognize, but people who they know aren't like, you know, it's like, oh, this can't be a Palestinian, right? Their name's Rebecca, right? Or some, you know, whatever the hell. It's interesting to see how the university is like adjusting tactics to where once you get in the room, then it's a matter of like, oh, you're either yelling through what, like text, like, okay, that's stupid. Or you're like, you know, fit or like actually yelling in some instance, right? This like weaponization of like tone is crazy. But like, but I mean, it does speak to the fact that there's really no actual argument on their end. And also like the, I guess, all, you know, rounding it out, like the idea that like you can't ask political questions in regards to fucking Israel is crazy. Because like, I actually don't like, one, like, you know, like it's politics, whatever, the whole mantra, like everything's political, but like, especially that one thing, right? Like, I feel like an active settler colonial project that is like actively ethnically cleansing people, like, as we're sitting here, right? Giving this kind of cultural exchange, whatever the fuck program, that is going to explicitly deny access for it's explicitly denying access for essentially Palestinian students, Arab students. It's crazy. And the fact that you can't even, like, acknowledge the fact that, like, oh, by the way, they're doing ethnic cleansing without the university, like, the faculty being like, oh, this is too political. Like, it's fucking crazy. And there's this dichotomy between that and, like, other students who are obviously not a part of this cohort going, like, oh, what about, what tents are we bringing? Like, what the fuck are we talking about here? You know, like that's an informational session for tents in a Bedouin camp that's, like, okay. Like, you know, like, there's, like, so many levels that just aggravate me about this. Also, like, the in-person confrontation's escalating, right? Like, you know, like, the initial confrontation is, like, you get tone policed, right, very quickly. You get this kind of, like, wanting of this disengagement strategy amongst at least half of the people there. The other half are too dumb to actually play by that strategy, it seems. But, like, you have at least half of the faculty in this instance, one out of two of them at least, saying, okay, we're not even engaging whatsoever. And then the next time you actually bring up an engagement in person that isn't a one-on-one, right, because they bait you into these like one-on-ones where you get absolutely fuck all out of it. The minute you get like an actual confrontation going with a professor, the immediate response then becomes law enforcement, which is actually like such an escalation that it's insane. Just for flyering activity, which like is someone who used to do, I did college organizing, like flyering is such a like a low weight, like it doesn't fucking matter. Like, I mean, it does in the sense of like you're getting a message out there, whatever, on the where you're flyering at things. But like, as far as like the university perspective, like the risk is so low, the agitation is not that high. So to see them respond to you all just literally flyering in what is clearly a public space that isn't like a, you know, a fucking library by any means, like they're saying, okay, the natural response is for armed law enforcement officers who will later detain, but first like wicked way they ordered this. First, like assault a student and then detain the students, targeting them based on who was wearing a keffiyeh. That is like actually, I keep thinking insane, right? Like it's something that like it's so on the nose for like how these kinds of institutions operate and how like Zionist actors operate that it's almost like borderline comical in a sense, right? Like you're going through all these things and you're like, no, there's no way they fucking did that. Like every step of this just seems incredible in a way, like, you know, like in a way that's like, it struggles to be real. So from there, where do you shift towards? I know now you have like an ongoing legal case. I know I saw on at least one TikTok, there was like a threatening letter sent from faculty y'all's way. So if you could touch upon that a little bit, I'm curious as to like how that shifts into the legal realm.
Yeah. So basically at the end of the day, we're students. And what we're told from the second that we apply and enroll to UIC is that if we ever face some sort of bias or discrimination, go to the Office of Access and Equity and file a report. So each of our members that were present for like the informational session as well as the flyering session, I believe all of them, if not almost all of them, submitted discrimination reports with the Office of Access and Equity. Me personally, about 3 days or maybe 4 days after I submitted that report, which when you submit, you get a letter saying that like retaliation is illegal. Like if you get retaliated against for speaking up about discrimination at your campus, that's illegal and like they can't do that. However, just a few days later after I submitted that report, I received a letter as well as a few other members saying that I was being like the target of a sort of investigation for discrimination on the basis of national origin as well as religion for Barrett Arbel, who was the professor hosting a study abroad trip. To this day, I've never had a conversation with Barrett Arbel. I've never met her face-to-face because I wasn't allowed into the informational session due to the fact that I have an Arab-sounding name. But also, I had no idea, and I still really don't know what religion she is. I can make the general assumption that it's Judaism, but frankly, like, I don't know. And so to get that letter was really jarring. And I immediately emailed back because, like, end of the day, I really want to graduate. And it would suck if I wasn't able to do that because of, like, a false report. And when I emailed back, they said that they sent the letter on accident, which, frankly, like, my full student ID number was in it. My full federal legal name was in it with these, like, very particular charges against me. And so it's very hard to believe that that was sent on accident. However, that's like what we were told by the school. And that was very frustrating because it's like, wow, like even the channels that are made through like the Civil Rights Act to protect us against discrimination are now being used to try and silence us. And that was like very, very scary. And I think that was also kind of a turning point for us when we realized like the school and the school administration is not here to serve us in any capacity. Like, we really are on our own with this. And that's when we began to move forward with Palestine Legal, who does a lot of work with, like, other, like, student activists for Palestine all throughout the U.S. And, yeah.
I also would just like to add that we did also get threatened with legal action by Kyle, if Saddam wants to go more into that. And we all, did you talk about the discrimination reports?
Oh, yeah. In July, also, they told us that the discrimination reports that we submitted, there was no finding.
Inconclusive. So, like, yeah. Everything with the admin just, like, did not go right. Miss Adam, go ahead and talk about
that. Yeah. To add on, specifically, it was that Friday of February, I believe 17, if that's the number, or 18. It was a Friday. I received two concerning emails. One from the Dean of Students giving us a warning that the organization SJP has done some bad action, and we're just letting you know that we'll be reaching out in the next couple of weeks to have an administrative meeting where the Dean of Students will meet with me and the Vice President along with our faculty advisor to discuss further. When I received that, I was like, there is no way. Like, what did we get in trouble for? You know what I'm saying? They did mention like flyering, but it's also like in my mind, it's like, what? I got, like, SJP got in trouble for flyering. Like, are they kidding me right now? And following that, like, 2 hours later, I don't even know which one came first. I just remember it was within the span of 2 hours on that Friday. I get an email to my school email from Kyle saying copyright infringement in the subject. And in the body of the email, he says, It has come to my notice that your organization has some Instagram posts up. If you do not remove those Instagram posts, I will take legal measures. So
really grasping its straws there, huh?
What? A few older Washington photos. I like to read Bright to keep herself.
And right at first I was like, do I laugh? Do I like shake? Do I get scared? Like, I'm like, I don't know how to feel about this. But my initial thought was like, okay, I need to contact someone. Like, I am kind of deep down scared. I'm like, oh my God, legal measures. Like, what the heck? Like, I never expected something like this to happen. And luckily, like, we do have a lot of resources that can like help us, such as Palestine Legal and even our own Arab Cultural Center. Advisors there, we kind of reached out to them to be like, hey, what does this mean? What do we do? And, you know, with that in mind, you know, we were advised, like, we can keep our Instagram posts up. They had nothing wrong, like, to do with them. Kyle can, you know, go ahead with his legal measures and whatever he wanted to do, which he didn't, by the way. It's just a tactic he was using, being in an administrative power, to kind of silence us once again. Because, you know, as students, we probably feel inferior to administrative people. But with us and knowing our resources and reaching out to people, letting us know, we knew not to take those words to heart. We knew that he was just bluffing, in all honesty. And even if he wanted to follow through with it, he could have, but he didn't. But then following this, I didn't respond to his email. I just completely ignored it. But with the Dean of Students, they ended up following up to schedule the meeting, which I, with the Vice President and Faculty Advisor, were present. And the person that was present, his name's Eric, I guess, I don't even know how to say his last name, but he was just an interim position. Pegasus, yeah, I don't know how to say his last name. He was just an interim position for whatever position he was. So I don't even know if he's still there. But basically, he was saying, like, this is protocol. Oh, he's still there? Okay, yeah. So he's like, this is protocol. We have to meet to discuss what, like, is being held, what you guys are being held accountable for and what steps to take next. So we're like, okay, what's up? And he basically said that we were being held against for flyering without approval. We're like, okay, like, what is the measures we're supposed to take? Even reviewing the handbook and the student organization rules and policies, so on and so forth. They are so vague to where it doesn't even have a specific location, a specific person, or anything of where we're supposed to go to get our flyers approved. Then again, we also, you know, prior to kind of prepare ourselves for this meeting, we got pictures and evidence of multiple flyers on campus that are not approved. So we were like, there are over how many organizations at UIC? Like 300 plus, maybe even 500? You're going to tell me you are watching every organization, approving every single flyer, and telling me that we're being held accountable for our unapproved flyers? Like, you gotta be shitting me. Like, this is not for real. I didn't say those words verbatim, but like that kind of, like, you know, intended, right? And he was like, yeah, I'm just, like, you know, following protocol. Like, we received notice and we have to, like, go through this. And then my faculty advisor, he, you know, butt in, was like, okay, fine, you want to play that game? Like, okay, tell us, when was the last time a student org was in trouble for flyering unapproved flyers? It doesn't have to be the specific student org, right? If there's, like, you know, some type of privacy thing, but at least the time, the month, the year, you know, when was this last incident happened? And he told us, yeah, we'll let you guys know. We'll give you that information. We can give you that information of, like, when the last time we, you know, did this. And we're like, okay, fine. And I was asking, so, like, what now? What does this mean? You know, he was saying, like, I hear you guys, you know, you told me your story, you told me your background, like, you're basically fine, like, don't expect anything, like, this is just protocol that I had to go through just to make sure we met, discussed it, and move forward. I'm like, okay, cool, sounds good, we discussed it, we can move forward. However, as we moved forward, I get an email saying that SGP is given a warning to potentially be put on probation about, like, this flyering incident is, like, on our records, basically, right? And I was like, what the heck? I was like, didn't we not just have a meeting where he was like, okay, you're cool. Like, we don't have any, like, type of official warning or official thing on our record. But I guess not. So with the help of Palestine Legal, I submitted, what's that word? An appeal. I submitted an appeal to the warning or to whatever it was. And following that, I haven't received anything in return. Nothing that it was, like, accepted, denied, whatever. I guess it was just brushed under the, you know, whatever that saying is, like, brushed away. And then moving into the new school year, like 2023, 2024 school year, I guess starting fresh. But who knows if we are technically starting fresh or not. But that was something that was like, okay, like, this is straight up BS. Like, why are we getting in trouble for flyering unapproved flyers when there's like 500 plus orgs that are flyering unapproved flyers. And like Soha said, it just goes to show like they are like targeting us. They're discriminating against Palestinian students. Like this is just being towards us specifically for our, you know, activism, for us speaking up against their actions and holding them accountable. So I don't know what, like, it was just crazy and mind-boggling to me that, like, I cannot believe administration used their administrative titles and power to kind of silence us. And luckily, it didn't work because we are here now. And if people have seen the media, we are all over the media. We are continuing to speak up against this and letting people know that this is UIC. And if you are Palestinian or if you support Palestine, beware that UIC seems like they don't care and they are going to continue doing so.
Yeah, I will definitely say real quick, shout out to Palestine Legal for just continuing to do God's work every single day. Because the amount of cases that I've seen, particularly in regards to students getting either doxxed, harassed, what have you, by administrations or actors on campuses that have just been, I think, you know, solved or at least mitigated through Palestine Legal is crazy. They're a really genuinely amazing organization that I think it does not get nearly enough credit for what they're doing. But just a small side note.
No, they're amazing because they have helped us through, like, it sucks because if we put in the energy that like UIC admin has put in and it's like scaring us, we'd have so much energy. And like, I remember like every time that we would get one of these emails, like whenever Saddam got the email from Kyle about the legal action, we were all in a car in California and we all just like went up into hysterics. We were like, what is going on? Like, we're like, like, is this real? Like, we were, like, we actually, like, thing is, like, it sucks because, like, they incite fear at first because we are, at the end of the day, we are just students who are navigating this world as 20-year-olds, you know what I mean? Like, it really is kind of sad to think about that, like, they are willing to do this, like, to their own students. And Palestine Legal is just, they always come in and they always just, like, reassure us that, like, there really is nothing that, like, any of these people can do. And they do all this stuff like pro bono. It's crazy. Like, you guys are saving our lives for free. Love you.
It really also, like, it is worth noting, like, the kind of, like, even, like, the nonviolent elements of this response coupled with the violent, obviously, just goes to reinforce really this dynamic that you see with Zionist actors and also institutions that are aligned with them. And this really is, you know, I guess a larger conversation about the settler colonial structures existed in Zionism's physical manifestation and everything. But this idea that, like, even, like, Palestinians existing is, like, an existential threat, right? Or is, like, a threat, is a danger to, like, the campus safety, is, you know, these are people who are doing these things, breaking the rules, what have you. In a microcosm, it really does exemplify this larger dynamic that you see from Zionists where they treat any, like, advocacy for Palestinians, any, like, Palestinians speaking for themselves, even in any capacity, it's really just kind of viewed as this existential threat to a larger plan. You know, like, this is, it's crazy to see how, like, this all springs out of literally just a university doing what is a very poorly thought out study abroad program that is just like a cultural normalization program. And that because Palestinians took issue with that and asked very valid questions, that it was obvious that the administration could not answer, because I think it's pretty obvious that whatever organization is backing these, like, operations did not give them, like, an adequate playbook on how to answer at least those questions. Like, it's interesting how, like, they turn to violence so quickly. The point you made earlier was, I think, really poignant in that, like, you know, U.S. law enforcement does also themselves act as, like, an occupational body, right? They do act themselves as, like, an extension of, like, state power, state force. And you know, the U.S. being a settler colony in and of itself play very similar roles to, like, Israeli occupational forces, although not, like, a one-to-one comparison in all senses. But there's definitely overlap in those roles that is really notable. And, you know, interestingly enough, they're in Chicago. There's a chance they've actually been trained by Israeli officers themselves.
100%.
Yeah, like, for viewers that might not realize this, like, hundreds of law enforcement agencies and departments across the country undergo what's actively called the deadly exchange. Which is where, like, Israeli occupational forces and police officers and what have you and departments over in, you know, so-called Israel will, like, train and trade tech and tactics with, like, U.S. law enforcement. It's the reason why a lot of U.S. law enforcement tactics have begun looking so much like Israeli tactics over the years. It's the reason why, like, Atlanta has massive surveillance centers that are actually like have been quoted as being directly modeled after like Israeli command and control centers in like in Jerusalem. Like these are like things that are affecting all of us, and it really does show, I guess, the continued violence at the hands of like colonial occupation forces that really does extend even outside of the borders of like, you know, the so-called borders of this like vile Zionist settler colonial project. But yeah, I mean, I guess like, you know, as we start to you know, I guess just to wrap this up, I guess we can sit, we're hitting the hour now, but I have two questions mainly. The first one is like, how do you all as students feel throughout this proceeding, really? Like, what's your kind of overarching feeling towards not just what's happened? I mean, I know it's probably a lot of mixed feelings over what's gone on, but kind of like where things are proceeding, like where things are going and moving from this point.
In the sense of where things are proceeding because of all of this, I honestly feel like pretty hopeful. I feel like we have been able to make like our mark regarding our qualms with UIC and UIC administration. And I feel like something does have to come out of this. Whether it's good or bad, it's just going to fuel us more. You know what I mean? Like, if UIC doesn't even give a damn about whatever we're doing, that's just more fuel to our fire. But if they do actually end up, like, talking to us and trying to resolve this, that's also hopefully a good thing. And hopefully the Department of Education will open up the case. We still don't know what they're feeling about that. But I feel like it's very evident that, like, discrimination did take place. So they definitely should be opening that up.
Yeah, they couldn't have given you an easier case on that end, I really feel. Like as far as, like, every step of this process.
I know. We gave it to them on a silver platter, like, for real. But as a student, I feel like I just feel tired. But, you know, that's why we're also here at this point, is, like, to help other students in the future to not feel this way, because it's not correct.
Yeah, I definitely would have to agree on that part. Like, as like grateful we are for like the insane amount of support that we've gotten, and like as hopeful we are about the future and like the future of this case, not only for like Palestinians at UIC and in Chicago, but like at every university campus, and that like hopefully this could lead to more protections for them. It's also just like been a very like depressing and anxiety inducing thing to have to endure. Like,
yeah,
I think, oh, it's just like an important thing I'd want people to keep in mind is like, end of the day, like, we're students, we work jobs on top of like taking full-time classes, and on top of that we have to try and educate our administrators and beg for our administrators to view us as people the way that they view the rest of the UIC community. And I think that part has definitely been like pretty hard to struggle with, especially knowing that like there is a fair amount of Zionist presence on campus within the student community as well, and within like professors and stuff. And so it is like just a little bit like nerve-wracking to kind of like walk through campus knowing that like we're trying to advocate for our rights, and that makes some people very, very angry. And to know like it almost is like a very like bare sort of naked feeling walking around campus of like, mm-hmm, somebody could like come up to us and do something crazy, and we will not be protected through that. And that is like, that's been like pretty hard to deal with. But at the same time, like you said, it's like mixed emotions, because again, like, we are super grateful for like the support, and we are very hopeful of like what the future has in store. So yeah,
I would just like to add, I mean, Sinan, we can go after this, but like walking on campus now, my paranoia and my anxiety is like has tripled. Because now I feel like everyone that, like, even looks in my direction is like, oh, that's that Palestinian girl who's, you know, like, doing all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, I feel like everyone hates me. And my professors hate me, too, because everyone's, like, I just kind of assume that everyone is, like, not pro-Palestine, because that kind of is, like, the true assumption sometimes. But yeah, I don't know, just, like, the paranoia is kind of bizarre to experience, which is, I guess, like, the true experience of like a person of color and a Palestinian living in this country, or just like even living back home. But yeah, so then you can go ahead.
Honestly, you two kind of hit it right on the spot. I don't know if I have much more to add, except for the fact that like I have graduated from UIC this past year. So I'm not there present to witness or to experience what Janine and Sohar are currently experiencing. But for one, it's like, all of these experiences that have occurred these past 4 years, my time at UIC, I just hope moving forward that change happens and occurs so future generations of Palestinian students don't have to experience what we've gone through. Like, we are going to these extreme measures or just taking normal measures, to be honest. Like, there's no extremity in it. This is what we're doing, you know, to get our voices heard and to have changes made. But I just hope that, you know, taking these measures now so future generations of Palestinian students that want to attend UIC do not have to experience this, and that this sets a footprint at a wider, broader, you know, national thing, that all universities start to see that UIC has made a difference, is making a change, and finally listening to Palestinian students and, you know, complying with BDS and not having anything Israeli related and really being more open up to the truth, that other universities start to see this and that no other university hosts abroad programs to Israel, because once again, it's an apartheid state that is occupying Palestinians, that is complicit with genocide and, you know, genocide and ethnic cleansing. So it's just, I just hope that the actions that we're taking now aren't just going to be brushed under the bush again and like ignored again and so on and so forth. I want change to finally happen because that is what we deserve. And it's, like I said, it's 2023, like wake up and smell the roses, you know, like we don't have to keep explaining ourselves. And that's why even when I speak, like I always say, you know, because I expect people to know, you know, I
don't.
Exactly. Like, I expect people to know, like, what is happening in Palestine. We have iPhones. They just came out with the iPhone 15. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have every resource possible to find the truth. So for people to not even accept the truth or to not even to continue to ignore the truth is crazy to me, because you need to know and you should know what's happening to Palestinians nowadays, because it's there. It's present. We have so many different outlets, and it's just, I don't want to see this anymore. I don't want to hear this anymore, that like, oh, Palestine, Israel, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, I don't know which side to take. Oh, yeah, there are two states. Like, no, that's old news. That's past news. We are in a new generation. We are in a whole new world. Like, Palestine is occupied. Israel is an apartheid state, period.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Hell yeah. Okay, so I guess then as we kind of wrap up with, hey, I agree. I mean, so as we begin to wrap up with one final question, I know there was like a, I think, was it a, God, the word, I don't know why this word is not, a petition, there we go. I know there's like a petition going around. How can people really wanting to help you all in this kind of like broader fight on campus and everything else, and really broader with like SJP, how can we support you? Like, how do we go about that as people who maybe not go to your school or people who might not have any idea where to start with that?
So yeah, we do have that letter of solidarity going around, which we've got over 1,000 signatures so far, and that like we're essentially planning to like use that also like to pressure UIC administration, saying like, okay, like we have supporters and we have backers, so please at least look into our grievances with your administration and the way that you guys go about supporting Israel and Israeli institutions. So I honestly think like signing that is a huge part of it. And just like also if you're a part of any organizations, that's also a really big win. Like we've gotten really like leading organizations like Code Pink and the Palestinian Feminist Collective and the Palestine Lobby and USPCN and like all of these things to, and JVP, Jewish Voices for Peace, to like sign on this letter. And that's like really, really huge. I feel like as a student organization, we wouldn't expect our reach to be that big, but it's pretty big. Also, the governor of Virginia, I didn't think that was a joke, but like we did get Glenn Youngkin on there, but like he's a Zionist, but you know, the name is there. So we're going to say that he endorses SJP allegedly. But yeah, so I think like the letter, like, it's had a pretty good reach so far, and I feel like we would love for it to also like just have like a bigger reach if that's possible. And just like reposting, liking our stuff, I feel like we would like to nationalize this issue and kind of like get other SJPs on board. It's just very like logistical, and we're still trying to figure out how to make that happen. But like if that does happen, it would also be great to have people on board and like supporting that. I don't know, do you have any other?
Yeah, I would just say, I mean, like, end of the day, our overarching goal is for like institutions of higher education to start divesting from Israel.
Yeah.
So any sort of actions, like if you are a college student and you notice that your school is hosting a study abroad trip or your school is hosting a speaker from Israel, to just raise your voice and speak up against that and call for your school to divest is also like a way to support us, because end of the day, like our goal is so much bigger than like UIC being held accountable. While that is like a huge part of it, we also would love to live in a world where like BDS is a norm on college campuses.
Yes.
In the way that it's a norm for like the student populations of college campuses. So yeah, I think that's all I would add.
That's 100%. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. I mean, and with that, I guess it's a good time to wrap this up. Thank you all so much. This has been another episode of Guerrilla Radio. If you want, be sure to follow our parent podcast, Guerrilla History, on Twitter at @Guerrilla_pod and on Instagram @Guerrilla_history. As always, have a great day. Styrofoam. You want it more than me.